you smile at me, you know I will understand, 'cause that is something everybody everywhere does in the same language.
And good morning. It is 11 a.m. on KBOO Portland. And standing by in Studio 2 is Grace Eagle Reed with some guests. She hosts Disability Awareness, and that's a monthly show about issues affecting people with disabilities and their communities. You'll want to stay tuned at 11:30 on Voices from the Animals. Journalist David Grimm joins host Courtney Scott in studio, actually it's recorded, and reveals discoveries he made in writing his book, Citizen Canine, Our Evolving Relationship with Cats and Dogs. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for a community radio station. Not a member? You can become one. Go to kboo.fm, click on Donate Today.
I'm a loving Leo lion, a winner.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2D6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Eye Care, a Southeast Portland optometrist providing eye exams, contact lenses, and medical eye care, as well as eyewear from independent designers. Portland Eye Care is located at 41st and Southeast Division Street in Portland and online at eyepdx.com.
Hi, welcome to Disability Awareness. This is Grace Eagle Reed, and I have two fascinating, wonderful guests today. I have Sherry M. Joyner, who wrote a book called Sherry Goes Sane. Fascinating woman. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on your show.
I'm glad to have you. And I have Sarah DeHoff from LumaLogix, and we're going to be talking about August show with Sarah. And she was also my transportation today. Thank you for bringing me over.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I have two announcements. This was actually July the 26th. I think it was this Sunday. But there is always ongoing things that are happening with American with Disabilities. It celebrated 25 years. They had a four-day event, but if you want to know more about ongoing things that are happening, you can go to City of Portland Commission on Disability, and there is a phone number, 503-823-5146, if you want to know more about American with Disabilities and their ongoing political action, local action, etc. The other announcement, and this is kind of interesting, this is for teachers from around the nation collaborate with academic coders to make computer programming accessible to the blind. That is fantastic information. So if you are experiencing blindness and you want to be a coder, I'll give you this information. They've had an event too, but if you want more of their events, you can call 512-565-0319, and this is also ongoing. They had on July the 22nd, 25th, 26th, Coming through the 27th, 28th, so you can still get involved with this. But if you are a person that has blindness and you want to be a coder, here is an opportunity to go and learn how to code as a blind person. And again, this is a movement where teachers from around the nation, the United States, have come together to teach people to code with blindness. Fantastic movement, actually. And it's coming from Washington State School for the Blind, and that's in Vancouver, Washington. And you can talk to Mike Bicknell, 512-565-0319, for information on that. So, Sherry, hi.
Hi.
So, Sherry wrote a book called Living a Life with Schizoaffective Disorder, and she shines a light into the dark, frightening world of psychosis and its twisted logic. What was that like? What is it like? Why did you write the book? What was it like for you, Sherry?
I wrote the book because when I was writing it, doctors and clinicians were writing books about the diagnosis of schizoaffective disorder and other mental health disorders. And I wanted to write about my personal story, the lived experiences, and to help people see the person first and not the diagnosis. I also wanted to help people who are living with schizoaffective disorder and other mental health disorders and their families know that they could live a happy, meaningful, and useful life. I began my book remembering my thoughts while I was going to Oregon State Hospital, my first day in the asylum. And I traveled in memories to my first boyfriend, to the equal pay case I fought while I was going to Oregon State University in 1971 and won my case, and my abuse that I took from my stepfather.
Right, and what I heard here, or what I saw in your book, was the first day in a mental hospital was what, age 19?
I was 21.
21 when that happened. Uh-huh. And I know you went and you worked as a waitress at one point, and you won some sort of legal case.
Yes, I did.
With a pizza place somewhere.
Yes, I did.
Don't mention the name, of course, but I'm glad you won that case. Because it was low pay and she was a woman, therefore, and probably they said, oh, disabled, therefore we won't pay you. But so, Sherry, you mentioned this horrible background. What you tell us about that, if you feel for it.
Well, I had an alcoholic mother and an alcoholic stepfather, and my alcoholic mother kicked me out of the house several times as a teenager and packed my bags and told me to leave. And she had a life of trying to get off alcohol and trying to get away from her negative thoughts and possibly her bipolar disorder, which she suffered from.
Yeah. So, what, of course, we don't even have to think about what that did to you, but that threw you into this situation.
Yes, the stress. And I remember when I was 16 years old, I was a high school cheerleader, and my science teacher saw me not off in class, and he said, "Sherry Standing, wake up." That was my maiden name, Standing. And I ran to the school's lavatory, and I screamed at the top of my lungs, "I'm falling in a big hole, and I can't stand it anymore." And I thought people were talking about me, and students were doing me in, and I was sarcastic to everybody. And that was my first bout of paranoia. Soon after, hallucinations followed. With hallucinations, I heard things. I heard voices in my head telling me to strangle myself, to lay on a freeway, in the middle of a freeway, and to get run over by the cars. And I also saw things, flashes of light. It was a cold, hard metal pane, like if you took a metal block and you gave it properties of healing and feeling, or feeling and aching, and you hammered on this block for an hour and a half and then threw it into the fiery flames of a fireplace and then doused it out with a cold pitcher of ice water, my head would feel the same sensation as if it were done to me. And it was really instigated and brought on by the abuse that my stepfather did with me on when I was at Christmas time and when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly can't go through what you have gone through, and many, many, many are going through as we speak and have gone through and not come out okay. You just can't. So I, and thanks, and that's, it's horrible to have had that experience. But what it was like, but what happened?
What happened was... I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when I had my last two hospitalizations, and I had grander illusions, like feeling I was Jesus Christ or some supreme being or something. Mm-hmm. And after I was released from the asylum, I was walking down the street and I saw a pipe on the side of the road, and I picked it up and I started swinging it around my head and thinking I was some supreme being or Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go back to my boyfriend because he was smoking cigarettes that day. And I didn't want to start smoking cigarettes again because I quit. And then there was a full moon out, and I began swinging this pipe. And I went to the middle of the street, and I held up traffic for 25 minutes. With the cars behind me swinging the lead pipe. Mm-hmm. A policeman stopped and to help me out, and I dubbed him over the head with my magic wand. I called my pipe, oh, and dear. I said I was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I went to another mental, I was court ordered to a mental hospital. Mm-hmm. And then that was mainly because I went off my medication. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I really needed to take my medication, but my last hospitalization, I couldn't take my medication because of a bladder infection. It was interfering with my psychotropic drugs, the medicine I took for it. And so I was having feelings of mania and depression and psychosis. It was all a combination that was part of my bipolar disorder, that was part of the schizoaffective disorder.
Well, let's talk about your master plan, Sherry's master plan, because this is fascinating.
Okay, Sherry's, I made this plan.
While you were suffering, yeah.
While I was suffering with suicidal thoughts and depression, and I thought that I'd take symbols and charts and a schedule of a day and grade my activity of the day with an M equals master and a P equals pleasure and a scale from 1 to 10. And I found out how much I could accomplish during the day and spot when I was going out of control. I also painted to find the artistic side of me.
And you are an incredible painter.
Oh,
you have
thank you.
Pictures of your paintings in your book.
Thank you very much.
It's incredible.
I love to paint, and I love to cope by painting and writing and walking and saying self-affirmations. But it was a good thing I painted because my mom and my brother were... had passed away within a year of each other. She died by suicide. He died by AIDS. Mm-hmm. And most people with my condition would have went back to the hospital or to cope with these tragedies. But I worked through my problems. I dealt with my problems. I adjusted. And I grieved like any normal person would grieve for their loved one.
In the introduction to your book, and I'm just going to quote it. It's Kirk let me turn to that page. I'm sorry, Kirkus Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Kirkus Reviews people said this. Joyner's utter determination to find a way to live with her condition, the courage that that took, the determination, the author's stubborn courage is also admirable, for example. And then we talked about this suing the company that wasn't paying you correctly, but that stubborn courage along with your med, taking your meds and having the common sense and the sanity to do that. Plus, I mean, Sherry, you, my goodness.
Thank you.
Who are you? I mean, this is amazing. And this is part of why I really wanted to have you at the mic today for this, because there's so many people suffering with this.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I can really attest to it by saying that I found a mental health care team that supported my health care decisions. And Dr. Smith from Summit Research Center, he helped me with the diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia along with the diagnosis of bipolar disorder, which became the diagnosis of schizoaffective disorder. And he found the right combination of medication for my condition. And I eat well, I sleep well, I think well, and I rationalize well. Mm-hmm. And I don't go off my meds. And I made a point to myself. It was a myriad of things that happened, but I made a point to myself that I would not go off my medication. I would not go back into the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been to the hospital since 1976. And I've worked all that way through with my medications, with different doctors, and it's been very beneficial and helpful to me.
Shout out to those people, huh?
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You're an amazing person, Sherry.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, this the book is an effective...
Sherry Goes Sane?
Yes, Sherry Goes Sane. An effective, affecting, honest memoir useful to anyone trying to understand life with psychosis. Let's talk more about your book. And I know you were lecturing at Universalist Unitarian Church, which is where I found out about you. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to come to your lecture and couldn't make it, but I connected with you later. We went up to good old Whole Food and had a cup of coffee and talked. And so I'm so glad that you are here at this mic. Sherry Goes Sane, tell us about your book. Where do people find it?
My book can be found, well, you can see my book on my website, which is artsandwritingbysherry.com. And it can be found on amazon.com, createspace.com, through paperback and Kindle, and through Powell's Books and Barnes & Noble and Central Library downtown Portland.
I need your publisher. I can't get my book out to all those places.
I have a great publisher.
My books are in the library, but I can't get them anywhere else, so I definitely need to work with your publisher. Anyway, this is fantastic. And so what is your next step? Or a next lecture, or what are you up to these days?
Well, I've been doing in-on-voice speeches, and I'm a lecturer in a psych ward giving hope to people through meditations, resources, and other literature, and as they leave the hospital. And I'm going to be selling flowers for the Vincent Van Gogh Week this week at North Star Clubhouse.
And that, where is the location there again? Where are you going to be selling flowers?
At 5600 Northeast Gleason.
Okay.
From 11 to 3 at the North Star Clubhouse in Portland, Oregon. Flowers are also sold at the Pioneer Courthouse and City Hall.
Great. Yeah, that I can go to too. All right. So again, how do people find your book? Give the website again, if you will.
The website is artsandwritingbysherry www.kbooradio.com. Oh, I'd like to say something.
Yes, please.
My husband was my emotional support for through most of this illness, and I love him very much, and I appreciate all that he's done, and all my friends has been by me and helped me through the down times and through the good times. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I met your husband today. He's a fantastic man. He's very lucky to have you.
Thank you.
I'm really glad I know you, Sherry, and I hope to collaborate with some projects, you know, in the near future.
Certainly.
And
definitely.
Where do you do your painting, and where can the paintings be found?
I do my painting at the Oregon Society of Artists and in my house. I have a dining room table which is full of paints. Needless to say, nobody comes over for lunch. And I go to the Oregon Society of Artists maybe once a month to paint with other fellow artists and to vent and to express myself and work through my problems.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for coming to
the mic.
You're
welcome. Thank you very much.
Now I'd like to introduce Sarah DeHoff, of Luma Logica, and she has a project called the Prosperity Project. Sarah, we know that poverty is exhausting. The reality of surviving exhausting, desperation-inducing poverty, which is so many people on this planet right now, and of course we are here in Oregon. A little bit about you and your project, and Sarah's going to be my guest in August, the 4th Disability Awareness airs the 4th Monday of every month here at KBOO. Thank you, KBOO, for giving me space for this. Sarah, what is your project like? What's up with you, girl?
Well, thank you for having me, Grace. The Prosperity Project is really about painting a picture of all aspects of prosperity and looking at it from a deeper perspective rather than just simply an accumulation of money, prosperity being the spiritual and material well-being of every single person on the planet. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? And so what I've done is started interviewing people who have a unique view of prosperity and finding those stories, telling those stories, and painting a picture of what this could be like.
Yes, and I want to thank you. I was one of the interviewees.
Yes.
We'll go into depth on that in August. Because if we are renting space in our head strictly for the problem, we're just going to own the problem, stay with the problem. The problem's going to tear us down. You know, as we heard with Sherry, that courage and determination to get out of the problem any way we can, rely on that inner strength, the outer strength, the great mystery power, I call that, etc. Sarah, a little bit more about the Prosperity Project, and I know you have this is a new project, by the way, isn't it?
It is, yes. I started in March, actually, interviewing people, and it has just been evolving since then. It actually started, my father passed away in December around Christmas time, and I was standing in his house looking at all of the things that served him very well in his life, but suddenly he had no need for them now. They were just things. Mm. But the gift that he really gave us was the generosity that he showed to the people in his community, and they reflected it back to us. And it was that inspiration that got me started on this project and realizing that really prosperity is that inner prosperity, those qualities and gifts that we give to each other.
I know that there's a huge gap between the have and the have-nots, the people that are in homes, the people that are homeless, if you look at these gaps and everything in between. And people that are very poverty-stricken, people that are compromised on any level, that don't have what they think is security of income and of possibilities and of education and of. They're certainly not buying into, what do you mean, be prosperous? So what we're going to attempt on the August show, starting, and I've been working with Sarah on this anyway, we're working together on this concept of how can, what is prosperity? It's not what we think it is. That's the whole point. What do you know about prosperity that folks need to know?
it really is an inner state of mind. It is understanding that what makes us prosperous is those inner gifts, the things that we share with each other. Some of the people that I interviewed had incredible stories to tell about people. There was one woman in the Himalayas who had almost nothing. I mean, she was living on a couple of dollars a day, but every time there was a visitor, she would make sure they had lunch. If they needed a place to stay, you can stay over here. And her whole attitude toward this was, this is my opportunity to express compassion. Mm. And so someone who has materially very little, but was so rich in that inner wealth.
Yeah, the spirit within.
The spirit within, the spirit exactly. Within.
And I have a favorite. I have it on my screensaver and so on. It's given by the group. I don't know who actually wrote this thing, but it's talks about we are spiritual beings having a human awakening, and we have a very short period of time on this planet to wake up. On the human level, not buy into the darkness and the desperation, no matter where we are, what we do, or who we are, or what kind of handicap we have, or whatever. And you know, that's the whole point. We all have a very short period of time to live and do whatever it is we're supposed to be doing. Finding, seeking spirit, seeking that inner spirit, seeking that courage. See, it's all there. That's the point. Sherry found it, huh? Did you find it or what? You found it. And if anybody can find it, it's Sherry, for heaven's sake. I mean, to be that compromised, and so many are, you know, on many levels. And then to reach deeply inside and to find that courage, and that takes faith and possibly belief. But that's all part of the seeking process, isn't it?
It is. It is. And so many of the people that I talked to and interviewed talked about that those inner gifts are already there inside of us. It exists there already. And so our job is to find it. It's almost mm-hmm. like a mine. You have to mine the gems inside of us, and they're already there. We don't have to create it. It's there already.
Yeah, we don't just get to sit back and go, okay, give me, spirit
That's
world,
right.
Give me. We have to seek and find, but we will find if we seek and just let go of that dark inside of, you know, we're higher nature, lower nature, aren't we?
Exactly.
And it's easier to stay dark. It's just easier. I know that for a fact. I bottomed out, you know, I took, yeah, so anyway, we'll talk all about that later. But right. Where do we find your work, Sarah?
These interviews are on my blog. It's lumalogica.com. Luma as in light, so it's L-U-M-A. The interviews are there. The people that have shared their stories already. And mm-hmm. one of the things that's starting to happen is these common themes are starting to emerge from yeah. these stories. Yeah. So I'm starting to write about those as well.
I know you interviewed Street Roots, Izzy, from Street Roots.
Israel Bear,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had him at this point. He's fabulous. Street Roots CEO, fantastic guy. So Luma Logica, L-U-M-A, L-O-G-I-C-A.com.
Correct.
For Sarah and her work and the interviews and this new work, we will have her on 4th Monday of August. next show. And thank you, Sherry, again so much for coming. And her book can be found all over the place. Sherry Goes Sane. Also, you can find it on my KBOO blog. And so I'll make sure all this information is on the KBOO blog as well. Thank you both for coming and gracing these mics with courage and faith and belief and wonderfulness. I feel
thank
so blessed
Sherry.
To have two wonderful people like yourselves at this mic. And thank you, Kate, my board gal, for helping us. Nothing could happen without Kate in there. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at